You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
There's no better place than the one you call home. Doesn't it deserve the right protection? Talk to a Cleveland Allstate agent about home insurance today and let the good life in. Before we get to a phone call, 216-578-0850, wanted to just also single out one person last night who I thought was the star of the WWE Raw event last night. My buddy Scotty Monaco was with me. As we know, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, has passed away, and he had a signature dance. And every time they played his music in and out of commercial, which they did because it was like a Dusty Rhodes tribute night in many ways, Scotty Monaco would do his Dusty Rhodes dance to arousing applause from everybody in the sections within eye shot.
How were your seats?
Good. We were like not as good as normal because we had a bigger group, I think. Mm-hmm. And by the way, because Johnny Football was sitting where I usually sit.
Yeah.
So we were five rows up, center ring,
five
right
rows
next
up.
To the hard
five rows
camera.
from the barrier.
From the barrier. Yeah.
Okay. Where at? Center ring?
Uh-huh.
So it would be
basically
what,
right next to the hard
mid-court? Carry.
Yeah, well, section 126, row 5, and nice. We were like as far over as we could be.
Nice.
Yeah, they were solid. I mean, they weren't, you know, front row like we like to have.
It's the only way I go to a wrestling match is if I'm sitting in the front row.
That's right.
That is 100% fact.
That know? Is.
And I am 2 for 2.
Add that to the free willie.
I am 2 for 2 on that right now.
Add that to the free willie.
Don't know if I need
demands.
To go. I'm going to keep it 100%.
Keeps it real. So got to give Scotty Monaco a shout out for his dancing last night. Fantastic. And if I have another dance party one of these days, you guys should all come out and check out the great Scotty Monaco. He also doubles if you ever need a DJ. He goes by the name DJ Audacity, and he will throw a party like you have not seen. He DJ'd the Miz's wedding in the Bahamas.
Really?
Probably the best wedding dance party I've ever been to.
What does he play?
Everything. He works with the couple to make sure it kind of goes in, you know, has their flavor, but he's got it all, man.
Okay.
He can hit you. He can come at you with some Backstreet Boys 1 second. He can even throw Tiffany at you, and then he'll just bring it back with like some crazy mix that he made up of like Kanye and
Pitbull.
Yeah, and he'll do the Pitbull dance at you. He's good. DJ Audacity. He's on Twitter. You can look him up. The DJ Audacity.
Is he legit? Like, does he have a website for his DJ business?
Yeah, he's legit.
Nice. Okay.
No, he's legit. He does a lot. It's hard to hang out with him in the summer in the wedding season.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's doing so many weddings.
Good for him.
Yeah. Audacity. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. Got Joe in Indianapolis. What's up, Joe?
Not too much. I'm just wondering, like, I'm going to ask a question all of Cleveland's worried about. But first, like, do you think that Cleveland can pull off Game 6 tonight? Because I think they can.
Yes.
I know, and that's what my call for initially as we open this show. My call is for the Cleveland that showed up for Game 3. High as a kite. You know, ready to root for a win here at Quicken Loans Arena and maintain home court advantage.
What do you think?
All right, I agree with that.
Yeah, but I think they can win.
I got a question that I know all of Cleveland's nervous about this. If they lose tonight, do you think that there's any chance that LeBron packs up and leaves?
No.
No,
I do not.
I do not either.
I believe that this is important to his legacy.
This is important to his legacy. I think the fact that he's tagged with or teamed with three of the young budding stars in Kyrie, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson, you know, one of which may go, but two, I believe, will absolutely stay in certainty. I believe that LeBron knows that he's on the cusp of a championship, if not this year, in the coming years, to continue to add to his legacy. The fact that he's doing it in Cleveland only, you know, is – at profound as I think as a championship that can be won by anybody, and the fact that he can do it multiple times. And lastly, he can make more money staying here in Cleveland.
He can definitely.
I agree with that. I think LeBron's a great player. Ever since he left the first time, I just haven't been keen on him. I feel like he betrayed us.
You gotta forgive. I think at some point you gotta be able to forgive. You gotta welcome him back.
To me, the Miami years never happened.
He's back, and he's here, and he's trying to get it done, of course, for the city of Cleveland. What do you think? This is what I wanted to ask you, because there are two things at play here. Number one, when he said, "Why am I confident? Because I'm the best player in the world."
Love that.
Okay, you love that. As a teammate, how do you respond to that?
I think it's...
Is he saying I'm the best player in the world and we're losing still because my teammates suck?
No. I just think it's every teammate, you listen to the Really Big Show, Riz makes it very clear time and time again. This team in year one, a lot like the Miami Heat team with LeBron James. You have high expectations, sure, but you weren't like, oh my God, they didn't win a championship.
Right.
And now, because of what they faced in regards to adversity, meaning the loss of Kevin Love, the loss of Kyrie, and what, and the team that we're playing, had this been the Houston Rockets, had this been the Los Angeles Clippers, this is a different series with this team right now. I think we match up a whole heck of a lot better. I just think it's the one team with LeBron and everyone else, and I hate to say it that way, versus the Golden State Warriors that might be too much for us because of how deep they are and the number of weapons that they have.
Yeah, they're just so talented.
I mean, they have 10 players. They have 10 players that see minutes in one game to the next. And the only reason they don't, and they might only go 8 deep or 9 deep, is because Steve Kerr doesn't want to play that 10th man or doesn't need to play that 10th man.
Yeah, he does. Sometimes he doesn't need to. Sometimes he doesn't care to.
You figure Bogut.
Depends.
Bogut was a DNP last game. Didn't play. Dude
started the entire season.
Started every playoff game prior to the Cavs series. Started the first three games of the series. Played, what, like 6 minutes in game four and did not play in game five. So they found a secret to success. Now, as I've said before and talked about yesterday with Andrew Gripple on this very same show, that I'm tired of Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors telling us how it's going to be. Well, we're going to play this way, and you're going to react to it. No, we're going to play our style of ball, okay? Whether it's Mozgov, Tristan, small ball, LeBron scores 40, LeBron has 20 assists and 10 points, I don't care, but we're going to make them react to who we are.
Part of the problem is that's because they have so many more tricks in their...
They do.
Because they have so many more guys they can go, so many more combinations they can utilize.
But that all being said, Nathan, and I know obviously you've been as in tune to this series as everybody in Cleveland has, the one thing that frustrates me, and I made it very clear yesterday, it's we work so hard to score on the offensive end. Whether it's LeBron backing down and making that fadeaway, which is a low percentage shot, or Tristan gets an offensive rebound and he goes back up and scores, or he goes to the free throw line and maybe makes two free throws, or JR finally hits a three. We work so hard on the offensive end. They're so good with their perimeter shooting that you might go 3 for 2, and or because we're using so many tactics on that Curry pick and roll, the pick and pop from the 3-point line, that they're getting I've seen more dunks and layups in this series than I've seen in every series combined, whether it's Barnes, Iguodala, Draymond Green, because they're getting lost, whether we're underneath a pick, over a pick, switching a pick, showing a pick, we lose that other guy. And they're good enough and skilled enough to have finishers around the rim that we're giving them free baskets when we're going to have to go down and work so hard to get a basket ourselves.
It is very true. It has been, you've seen them score at will. And we were saying it's too easy for them and it's too hard for us.
Right.
And that has been certainly right.
And another discount you have to think about it. And I know Tristan has stepped up in a game here or a game there to go get into double digits, but you have Matthew Dellavedova, who's, you know, essentially a non-scorer.
Uh-huh.
And you have Tristan Thompson, who's essentially a non-scorer, right? Then you've got Iman Shumpert, who's been hitting from three fairly well all season long and in the playoffs, but can't finish around the rim. But he can get there, but he just can't finish.
He missed at least two layups.
Exactly. Then you've got J.R. Smith, who's a streaky shooter, so he's been predominantly off, and you're left with one guy to score. Which is why LeBron James, I mean, he is the best player on the planet. I'm not discounting that by any means. But you have LeBron James getting 40 to simply keep it a game.
To keep you in the game.
If any guy goes 20, you know, 20 plus, you have a shot with LeBron scoring, you know, 35 or 40 points.
Absolutely. It's also, and I think it's tough for the role players on the Cavs to stay involved because he monopolizes the ball so much, and you don't have any rhythm. There's no natural offense. J.R. Smith can hit all those shots, and then all of a sudden, he might not touch it for 15 minutes.
And, I mean, how excited was every Cleveland fan when you saw the ball move from the around the perimeter in that on that one 3-point shot that was like, the ball move, ball move, ball move. And Jeff Van Gundy was, like, enamored with that ball movement. Why doesn't Cleveland do that every time? And everybody goes, like, we thought we had the answer, but you never saw it again.
Yeah.
So you go back down, you post up LeBron. LeBron gets doubled, he gets hacked, he misses a layup or a jump shot, and you go down the other end, they get a basket. All of a sudden, you're down four.
They got to find a way to keep it going. They've got to find a way to continue to really move the ball, keep an offense. Now, they're resting, I understand, on offense. I get the strategy they're trying to do there, but they've got to find a way to stay in some type of offensive rhythm.
Yes.
We have – they as for every layup that they get, we have a 24-second violation.
Correct.
And that to me, is a big problem in this game. The Cavs have got to find a way to have a continuous flow on offense and limit – that you make Golden State work. But the fact of the matter is Golden State is just more talented.
They are.
Than the team we're playing right now.
They are. And to go back to our caller's point is, the fact of the matter is, yes, they're more talented, but you cannot say with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, you know, actively participating in this roster, we are, to me personally, more well-roundedly talented than any team in the NBA with both of those guys healthy.
Yeah. Yes. For sure. And that's the issue. That's what you're seeing.
I know. I get it.
And the difference is people are like, yeah, but, you know, we did so well with Delly against Chicago, and then we did well with Delly, you know, against Atlanta, and then we did fine.
My point
is
that
it's a different ball game.
It's a different ball game because it's a different echelon of talent. And as I've said, and I talked about this yesterday on the show as well, a backup is a backup for a reason. It's the same way that if you ask me who's going to be the quarterback at Ohio State right now, I would say eventually JT Barrett, because Cardale Jones – was the third string quarterback behind Braxton Miller and JT Barrett for a reason. He was given every shot and opportunity to succeed, but ultimately something wound up keeping him down there on the third string. And I felt three opportunities, played great, superseded everybody's expectations, brought home an amazing championship. But I feel when given the football and given an opportunity to not only succeed, he will also fail. A lot of the reasons what made him a third stringer. And I think that's what's caught up to us with a guy like Matthew Dellavedova. Matthew Dellavedova playing 17 minutes a game, spitting piss and vinegar, coming in, fouling people, getting 6 points, you know, three, four fouls, D'ing up Steph Curry, and getting back to the bench is the role for a guy like that. And we're asking him to play 45 minutes a game on the best player in the league this year.
In the league, yes. That's why.
So you're asking a lot of a guy.
You very much hit the nail on the head why this is a very big, big challenge right now for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But hopefully they can do it tonight at the Cube. When we come back, 216-578-0850, we'll continue to take your phone calls. We'll talk about minicamp because we've got some takeaways from that. So hit us up, 216-578-0850. Cavs, Browns, whatever you want to talk about, we'll get it done here. Zagur and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.